Jesus, the only one, only one, be very sure,
very sure,
be very sure,
very sure,
for they go hold and grips the solid rock. In times like these,
in times like these,
you need a Bible. In times like these,
in times like these, oh, be not idle.
Be very sure,
very sure,
be very sure,
very sure,
your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one.
All right. Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning for Sunday school. And let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father God, we come before you and Dear Father, we love you this morning and so glad that you love us. And God, we thank you for the Word of God that you've given us and for giving us the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts and giving us the hope of eternal life. And God, I pray that you might bless our service today, every facet and phase of it, dear Father, in Sunday school, every teacher, and every message that's given forth this morning, dear Father, and tonight, God, that you might bless it in a special way. God, that you might bless those that are here. God, they made an effort to be here and they want to hear from you. And God, I pray that you might take the words off the printed page and put it deep within their hearts and minds. And God, it might make a difference this week as a result of being in your house. Do pray for Sister Moyer in a very special way that you might help her this morning. And you pray for Don Pylon and others, dear Father, that need your special healing and your touch. God, that you might be with them, but be with our service this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 364. We'll sing Standing on the Promises. We'll sing the first and last verses this morning, 364.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn back to page 185. My Savior's love. Jesus loves you, the foundational knowledge of all time. Page 185, we'll sing 1, 3, and 4 this morning.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus a Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Amen, amen. How do you know Jesus loves you? For the Bible tells me so. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. And a little bit different this morning. Some people are going to be gone. Brother Moyer is not able to be here this morning with his wife. She did not have a very good night the other night. And Miss Grissom is sitting with her, Robert and Jolita, and they're not doing very good. Don Pylon's in the hospital, not doing very good. So please remember these in prayer. But we're looking forward to having a good day today. Summer is over. We made it through this week. Amen. And I don't think it's supposed to be 104 this week. Hopefully not. But anyway, looking forward to this week and our fall. But I hope you'll be back in God's house tonight. Really a continuation of this morning's message. And tonight's message is better than this morning's message. So if you had the choice between the two, you need to come tonight. You're already here. Oh, yeah, you're already here. Anyway. Well, anyway, I hope you come back tonight. Then Wednesday night, Bible study and prayer. Saturday, bus visitation, Operation Saturation. Come go with us. Come knock doors with us. We've reached out, but we're kind of coming back to our area. About 7 years ago, we started this, and it's been 7 years since we did the houses right around the church, so we're doing that again. And we were able to do 183 doors yesterday. So come and go with us. Come and knock doors with us. Invite people to church. But that's next Saturday. The next Sunday is Labor Day weekend. And hope you'll be in God's house. We'll have morning services. Then we'll have a 4 p.m. afternoon service with popcorn preaching and singing. And then we'll have a fellowship to follow after that service. And we'll have hot dogs and hamburgers. And you bring some sides and dessert. And we'll have a good time there. Then the first ladies meeting of the fall will be Monday, September 18th at 6:30. And then the men's Baptist recharge, September 22nd, 23rd. Encourage you men, young men, to go with us. Three messages Friday night, three messages Saturday morning. All the information is at the bottom of the bulletin. And at the back, there's a sign-up sheet. And under that sign-up sheet, there's some more information if you want to go and play paintball and all that stuff. We usually just go. We don't stay in the dorms, we come home. I like sleeping in my own bed. Amen. Anyway, there's more information if you're interested in that, and all that's there. And then the 2023 Ladies Retreat at Heritage Baptist Church is coming up October 6th and 7th. And then I'm excited about October, our Missions Month, and we'll have missionaries through the month, and really, really looking forward to that. So please remember these in prayer. On the back of your bulletin, they certainly need it. Well, this morning, I get a treat. I asked Brother Adam Ferrett to teach Sunday school for Brother Moyer, and I appreciate his willingness, and he loves the Lord and wants to serve the Lord. So, Adam, you come and teach the lesson this morning. Appreciate you.
It's always fun to be up here and preach to everybody. Today, let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Can you hear me now? All right. 2 Timothy 4. I got it. Second Timothy 4, 3 through 7. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's pray. Dear precious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, help me, Father. Thank you for giving me this message, Lord, and help me to have the words to say. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. It's the end, and I feel fine. That's the title of my sermon. I'm good. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. The end is coming, and you can fill in the blank. Now, this is not because pastor's been going through Revelation. You know, we see the end times, we're close to the end times. It's not a time to relax. It's not a time to give up. We could read in Matthew 9 that it says that the harvest is truly white, and God needs more workers, more laborers. Here's some reasons why we shouldn't relax or give up. We see in verse 3, "For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine." Let's look at this as for the saved. When we are walking, when we're in church, we come all the time. But if we give up, we start giving up on our doctrines. We start giving up on the things that we were taught, the foundations that we were taught in. Endure, to bear, to suffer without resistance or without yielding. A lot of times people give up, people yield to stuff that is easy. Well, we see the end is coming, so we're gonna back off from what our beliefs are. We're gonna back off from what we were taught, and we're just gonna do the easy thing. That's not what God wants us to do. God wants us to stay the course. Another thing is we don't like to be convicted. We don't like hearing things that convict our heart of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. God put all kinds of stuff in the Bible to help us stay the path, stay the course, run the race. But when we get convicted, when we don't want to be convicted, we want to get off that course, and we need to stay the course. We can't relax, and we can't quit. And we also see that in verse 3, after their own lust, shall keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. We like to be made to feel good. So we don't like being convicted. So we don't want to, some people don't like going, some Christians don't like going to churches where they get convicted. They like going in there where the pastor stands up and says, "Oh, you're doing fine. You're doing great. You can just sit here and be pew potatoes." You know, couch potatoes, pew potatoes. I just thought that would be a little funny. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to get up. He wants us to go. He wants us to fight evil, do witness to people, and do what God wants us to do, be in the ministry. Now, we have ministries in the church. We have Sunday school teachers. We have ushers. We have all these other different ministries in our church. Not every ministry is cut out for every person, but there is something you can do. First of all, a ministry that we can do is pray. Prayer is one of the most important things in the church. But we also, I'm getting ahead of myself. Prayer is the most important thing. And to stay grounded in the doctrine. Now, we get to the verse 4. This is for unsaved, but also for the saved. They turn away from the truth. We have seen Christians turn away and go the wrong direction. But we also know unsaved people that we go to try to talk to them, and they don't want to hear it. I don't want to do a church. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm going to get to heaven on my own merit. Is that truth? No. That is completely wrong. You can't get to heaven on your own merit. The only way to get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, and then it says that they get turned to fables. Now, this is an interesting one. We have different religions. We've known Christians that decide to go to other religions. We know people that get into mysticism, and we have people that get into alien other stuff, and then strange worships. I'm giving you this list of things, and I'm going to go back and explain it. Different religions, you know, what's easy? What can I do that I can get? What can I do when I go to church that I can get away with without being convicted or feeling bad? Different religions, mysticisms. Two of the biggest mysticisms that are in our world right now is Wiccan and Jedi. Now, seriously, it's one of the most popular religions in the UK right now. And that was a made-up thing from Star Wars. But people want to do it. It's meditation and stuff. But anything that is not worshiping God is worshiping Satan. And then we get into other beliefs like aliens and other different things. I don't want to get into that, but that's another fable that people get into. And strange worships. I have heard Christians and non-Christians say, I can worship anywhere. That is a truth. But the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourself. That is the choice. When you're sick, when there is problems in your household, if there's something that keeps you from church because you need to deal with it, that's not forsaking yourself from the assembly of yourself. That is dealing with something that God has put in your life. When you're sick, stay home and be sick. But if you're but if you just go, hey, the football game's on, I'm gonna stay home, that is forsaking the assembly of yourself. And you can find different things, but again, the forsaken assembly of self is a decision that you make between you and God. Right. And when you make that choice, and you believe that you're not forsaken assembly of yourself, it's again between you and God. We and those of us that are at church, and we see that that person's not there, our job is not to judge, but our job is to be an intercessor. We pray for those that aren't here, regardless of the reason why they're not, because we may not know. But we pray for them because two things. We love them, and they're part of our family. Because this church is a family. Sure, there's some of us that don't get along, but again, if you have family that you don't get along with, hey, it's part of the family. My brothers and I used to hate each other growing up. Beat the tar out of each other all the time. But both of my younger brothers are some of my best friends now. I call them for all kinds of crazy stuff. But we can grow to love one another. If we have an issue with one of our family members, we go talk to them. If we have an issue with our family here, we should go talk to them. All right. Now, we get to verse 5. It says, watch therefore in all things. We need to be watchful. What are we watching for? Who do we represent as a Christian? We represent God. When we go to work, when we go to the store, when we go to whatever our daily life takes us, Are we representing our Father? We are not of this world. We are of God's world. We are ambassadors, as Pastor has said before, and the Bible said. Are we representing the country that we are supposed to be? Next. How should we present ourselves? Now, we are representing God, okay? Are we showing the representation? Is our actions showing who we're representing? Now, how do we present ourselves? How do we look? How do we act? And how do we treat other people? I know that's kind of close to the same thing, but are we presenting ourselves as Christians? And who are we pleasing? Are we pleasing ourselves? Are we pleasing others? Or are we pleasing God? Now, we can all say we are pleasing God. But who are we really pleasing? What does our actions show who we are pleasing? When we're going to work and we're speeding, who are we pleasing? I speed, just so you know. So I'm preaching myself on that one. When we are at work and we start talking like the people we work with, who are we pleasing? When we come to church, when we act like the world and we come to church, who are we pleasing? God wants us to be, act, and do his will and what how he has taught us to be. Amen. And if we're not doing that, we are not pleasing him. We are pleasing ourselves or somebody else. And most of the time, we're pleasing ourselves. Next. In verse 5, it says, endure affliction. Now, affliction is not fun. Affliction is pain and suffering. First of all, we like things easy. We don't like pain and suffering. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God 3 times to take it away, and he says, my grace is sufficient. That is not a fun thing to hear. But God puts affliction in our life. For me, one of my things is when I was in the military, I jumped out of a truck and broke both my feet. My feet hurt all the time. That's an affliction that I'm going to deal with. We have to endure it like a good soldier. And no pun intended. But the Bible says endure life like a good soldier. Endure the pain. Endure the frustration of that stuff. There's things you can take and do all that stuff for. But if you praise God for the issue, you will not get depressed. You will not get upset with that situation. Let me tell you, there was times in my life that I was so mad at God because I broke my feet and I couldn't do things. Because I couldn't run. I was either in a wheelchair, on a cane, or on crutches for almost a couple of years in my life. It was not fun. And I was mad. But I wasn't looking at it right. When God puts something in a thing, whose grace are we supposed to be using? Grace, God's grace is sufficient. Amen. We go, okay, God, I'm going to deal with this no matter what happens. And we try to look at it positively. And we try. And sometimes we fail, but, you know, we get up back up and say, God, I'm going to do better this time. Amen. Now, that's one type of affliction. Another affliction is from others. In our country, we get a little bit, you know, we get a door slammed in our face. That's a little bit of an affliction. But our brothers and sisters in other countries are getting crucified, heads chopped off, a house burned down, all kinds of afflictions that we haven't seen yet. And they, from Voice of the Martyrs and some of the other stuff we've read, they are enduring a way worse affliction than we are. But those are the two types of afflictions that we are supposed to endure. Next, verse 5. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist, we have people come in, they travel from church to church. This is our day and age evangelists. They come church to church and try to encourage the church. All right, so what are we supposed to do? And they go knock doors and different things. We tell others about the Lord and how good he is. Now, if we cannot think of a good thing that God has done for us, we have a problem. Check our salvation. Check ourselves' salvation. Next, when we're talking to other people, share your testimony. Your testimony helps other people see how real and how personable God is. When God worked in your life and saved you, something amazing happened. You came a son of Satan to the son of God. If you can't bridge those two things, people will not understand what salvation means. And they will not understand what it means to go to church, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to walk with God and this endure afflictions, watching for things, what doctrine is. All these things that I've talked about before, if you can't personalize God to the point where they understand how good God is, and what it means to be saved, they can say a prayer. People say prayers all the time, and all they do is they say a prayer and they're saved. But there's no heart change. It's a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. And I can speak from experience on this. I thought I got saved at 5 years old. But it was a heart knowledge. I wanted to please my parents. And I grew up in a Christian home. I got into, when I was a teenager, I got into this teen evangelist thing. We went all around Alaska doing VBSs. I led people to the Lord, but there was something missing. I had a lot of guilt, but I had no conviction. There was nothing saying, hey, you're going to mess up. It was always, I messed up, and then I got guilt. I got the problem. And guilt is from Satan. Conviction is from the Lord. Conviction comes before the sin, not after. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I really understood what the difference was. And I had to go to my parents and go, what is the difference between guilt and conviction? And my dad asked me a very important question. Are you sure you're saved? And right then I knew I wasn't, because I didn't understand. I did not make that connection between God and me, God and Satan. I knew there was something there, and I knew something was missing, but I couldn't place it until that day. Until God opens our eyes to that point, we can be taught, we can pray prayers, we can do all that stuff. But until we see the personalization of God in our life, we're just going to be a son of Satan. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Now, and we invite them to church. That's important too. We go out, we share tracts, we talk to people where we work, we talk to people at Walmart, wherever we go, and we share. And that's important too, because God's word will not return unto us void. Will not return void. So we share that track. It's gonna affect somebody. But the personalization of talking to somebody about the Lord and how good God is and our testimony is what really makes the huge difference. All right, we still have work to do. Paul says that in verse 6, Paul says he is ready to be offered, and he was at the end of his life. He was blind. He couldn't write. He had somebody writing these letters for him. His life was in constant danger, and he was under house arrest. Now, and yet, he still found a way to encourage people, to teach people, and to love them. And we can say, yeah, that was Paul, that's not me. And that's absolutely true. But God has called each one of us to do something for him. We can teach, we can encourage, and we can love. And so what are we going to do with the rest of our life? What are we going to do with the time that we have left? Either the rapture comes or we get buried. No matter what your age, God can still use us. We can teach, we can always teach someone younger than us. We can always encourage somebody. And we can always love. When I first got back from Alaska this last time, walking in the door, I found so much love from this church, I knew this was the place I was supposed to be. I'll be back. And there's people in this church that have helped me, have taught me how to fix plumbing, how to fix toilets, and how to love people. In this church, just because some people may think they're too old or too young, or whatever the case may be, God can still use you. You know, you think you're not pretty enough? Do puppets. You know, try something. That was supposed to be a joke too. But there's something for us to do. Even stand at the door and greet people. One of the fun things to do is when the kids get off the bus is you greet them. You sit there and give them all high fives. You know, they might not remember what the Sunday school teacher said. They might not remember, you know, the bus ride. But they remember when somebody loves them. When a prodigal comes to our church, when somebody that we haven't met before walks in the door, I say prodigal because sometimes you get one of those people that is like, I've been out of church for a long time. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I just know I need to be in church. And they walk in the door and they get loved on by someone from our church, they will be back. When a family comes in and they have a bunch of kids and you help them to the nursery or help them to class and you show them love and encouragement, they will be back. Encourage somebody. You walk up to them, they look down, they're not smiling, you go up and encourage them. You know, and encouragement's an interesting thing because you can sit there and tease somebody and encourage them. You can sit there I get teased a lot because everybody loves me in this church, apparently. And I get teased, and it's encouraging because I know they love me. People come in and they're not having a good day. Their kids are been bad all the way to church. They're screaming and yelling and just, and you come up, give them a high five, shake their hand, and it's encouraging. Give someone some words of advice. Tell somebody what you learned in your devotions today or even yesterday. Since it's Sunday, some people don't do devotions on Sunday. So tell someone something that you learned, something that encouraged you. And again, that is part of the testimony that helps another Christian. There's so many things that we can do. There's so many things that is still left in our life. We're not under house arrest. Some of us might be a little blind and a little deaf, but we're still here. We're not under house arrest. Our life is not in danger yet. We're still in church. We're here to encourage and love one another. There are so many, I keep saying so many things, but there's so many things that we can do. But the first point is allowing God to show you. Amen. You have to let God show you. If you don't let him show you, and you're like, well, God, and there's two ways that you can ask God to do something. Like, God, you got to show me. You got to give me it on paper. Well, sometimes he has. And sometimes you just, when you walk into the room and God goes, what about this? And you're like, nah. Well, God, you got to show me something. What about this? No, I don't want to do that either. God has shown you something. He showed you a thing over here, and then showed you a thing over here. But our attitude has to be different. Have we given up? Have we relaxed in our faith? Those are the big things that are happening in the church today. Is they've either given up or they're becoming too relaxed. And this is not the time to relax. When Brother Eugene has a fair coming up, he doesn't relax just the week before the fair to get all of his mustard in. He works harder the last couple weeks so that when it comes, he is ready. Right. Are we ready for Jesus to come?
Amen.
That is the bottom line. If we are relaxed or quit, we're not ready for Jesus to come.
Right.
When pastor says the end is near, do you feel excited because I don't have to work anymore? Or are you excited because we get to see our holy God?
Yeah.
Or are we get a feeling in the pit of our stomach that I am not ready? If you have that, then there's something else that God has for you. If you're like, oh, I don't have to work anymore, who are we pleasing? Pleasing ourselves. No matter what age we are, God can still use us.
Amen.
We don't know exactly how old Paul was when he wrote this letter. We know that he was under house arrest, he was blinding, and his life was in danger. And he was still used. God can still use us too. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for how you work. Lord, please be with the rest of the services today. Lord, we thank you and praise you for being an awesome God. We thank you for Paul and his life, where he fought against you up until the day that you knocked him off the donkey. Lord, we thank you so much for what you're going to do. Lord, be with our people today. Give Pastor the words to say. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.